I want to invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. We haven't been on the Sermon on the Mount for a little while, have we? Matter of fact, it's been before Sherry and I went to vacation and before Easter and before Mother's Day. And so it's been a little while since we've been on the Sermon on the Mount, but I want to bring you back to Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 25, going through 34. Do you remember what we talked about last in the Sermon on the Mount? I realize it's been a while. But we talked about that phrase, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust do corrupt and thieves do break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Hallelujah. Where moth and rust does not corrupt and thieves do not break through and steal. And then we ended up with that verse, you cannot serve God and money. That's where we ended up. And we're going to take off on a different subject today. It's called worry. Oh, nobody's got any worry here though, right? That's what I thought. And so, believe it or not, Jesus is going to address worry. So let's look together what he's got to say. Matthew 6, 25. If you have your Bible, please follow along or follow along on the big screen. It'll be there in the New King James Version. Here's what Jesus said. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. I don't know if you've considered the birds friends lately or not, but as I've pondered this verse all week long, I have watched birds in our front yard. I have watched birds fly around, and they don't, it's just like he said, they don't plant nothing, they don't reap nothing, and yet God takes care of them. They go out on a daily basis. Well, I suppose I better find something to eat today. So he uses the birds of the air. Look at the birds, he said. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying, he throws in here, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Now you say, what in the world, Jim, does that mean? Let me read it to you in the NIV. Which of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? That's a little easier to understand, isn't it? Or the contemporary English version says, can worry make you live any longer? That's what he's saying. Why fret and worry and stew? Because it's not going to add to your life. It's not going to make any taller. So why, in verse 28, he says, do you worry about clothing? And he uses the examples of the flowers. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these flowers. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith, Jesus throws in. Therefore, he says again, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. In other words, the non-believers, he's saying, are worrying about these things. Why, he's saying, followers of Jesus, followers of the Most High God, do you spend a whole lot of time worrying on this? Look at what he says. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Your heavenly Father knows. And if you remember nothing else, remember this when you start to worry about something again this week, because it'll happen. Remember this, your heavenly Father already knows. Your heavenly Father already knows what you're going through. He already knows what you have need of. He already knows the situation you're in. So remember this week when we begin to worry, these words, your heavenly Father knows. And then look at the very next phrase. 33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God Your heavenly Father knows what you're hurting about, what you're going through, what you're worrying about. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He concludes with this, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. In the contemporary English, it says, don't worry about tomorrow, it'll take care of itself. And so we've got this directive from Jesus that speaks to every single one of us. Every single one of us have that tendency to worry about something. Did you know that worrying is costing millions of dollars a month in America? It's costing millions. Anxiety and depression and worry and all manner of things that go along with worrying is literally polishing people off all the time. And I don't know how any simpler to tell this, because we all worry about things. We all are concerned about things. But remember the phrases of Jesus like, your heavenly Father knows. Remember the phrases of Jesus that come later in Matthew that says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He says, and I will give you rest. And yet we find ourselves worrying about our looks, worrying about our popularity, worrying about our jobs, worrying about our kids, worrying about our status on the job, worrying about our status in the community. And yes, we worry about our health and our financial problems. And on and on and on it goes. And I'm not saying for a moment there are not things to be concerned about. And I'm not saying for a moment there's not things to lift up to God in prayer regularly, because there are. But there are things that Jesus said we get all wrapped up about. We get all worried about. And He said, don't worry about that, because your heavenly Father already knows. Your Father knows. Jesus just got done telling His listeners, I asked you to think about where we were, talking about laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. He just got done telling His followers to do that. Don't worry about laying up for yourselves treasures on earth, He's saying, and in these passages as they come together. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. He just got done telling His listeners, don't worry about the things of today. But seek first the kingdom of God. And then he followed up in his own statement by saying, and when you do, these things shall be added unto you. And so he challenges us, his leader, seek first the kingdom of God, and these other things in life have a way of taking care of themselves. Not to worry about that, he said. Seek first the kingdom of God. Yeah, but God, what about this? Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. I looked up the word worry in the dictionary, and it mentions these two things from the verb and from the noun. Be worried, be concerned, be anxious, be troubled, be uneasy. Here's one that really speaks to us. According to Webster's, it says, disturb the peace of mind. To worry is to disturb the peace in my mind. Afflict with mental agitation or distress. I got to thinking about that word peace. Disrupting and disturbing the peace of my mind is what happens when I worry. Now let me ask you to process for a minute. Who is the Prince of Peace? According to Isaiah 9 and 6, who is the Prince of Peace? Jesus! Isaiah said in chapter 9, verse 6, He shall be called the Prince of Peace. Who said in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world can give. Who said that? Jesus. Now listen to what Webster, how he defines worry. Disturbing the peace in my mind. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Jesus said, I give you my peace. Paul wrote about that peace that passeth understanding. And yet worry interrupts that peace. It disturbs that peace. It's no wonder we have anxiety and depression and illness and ulcers and all manner of things, because it disrupts that peace. Let us take a lesson from a seventh grader in South America. You know that we sponsor a number of children in the international child care ministries. We only give them $25 a month, okay? They ain't getting rich off us, let's face it. They're barely getting to school and barely eating. Here's what one of them said. Just got this week, and I thought, praise the Lord. What a testimony for me and for this topic. Dear sponsor, in the first place, peace be with you and your families. Is that amazing? Seventh grader in South America, this particular one don't have any parents. I told you that some time ago when we first got this young fellow's on our roster to help. Thanks for the one more gift. It arrives a good time. Now he's writing in Spanish, and then it gets interpreted. God do everything in the right time. I'm going to buy the school materials for next year with the money we just sent them, so we can go back to school. I was already concerned because the money wasn't a whole lot of money. And he writes, I was already concerned, but recalled Jesus' words, don't trouble your hearts, and Jesus gave me peace. Hallelujah. From a seventh grader with no parents, no income, no place to lay down at night except for people taking him in, and said, God gave me peace when I began to worry. What a lesson to Jim about a seventh grader in South America whose trust and faith is completely in the living God. Friends, that's where ours should be too. And I'm not saying there's not things that concern you and I, because there are. But this thing about worry, Jesus said it, you can count the times in there. He said it a whole bunch of times in these verses. Don't worry about these things. Also, from Webster's, the verb, again, to feel or express undue care and anxiety, to be fretful, to chafe. Do you like to chafe? I don't like to chafe. I don't like to be chafed, so I shouldn't worry. The noun, someone or something that causes anxiety, a source of unhappiness. I don't like to be unhappy. Jesus wasn't ever unhappy. A strong feeling of anxiety, a state of disturbance from care and anxiety, vexation, fretting as to be in worry, and all these things about this word called worry. You know what I think? I think when Jesus was talking to us from these verses, I think he was getting to the other side of that coin, the other side of the worry coin, which to me is trust me. Trust me, Jesus said. I think that's what he's telling us. Trust me rather than worry about your clothes for tomorrow, your food today, your bills tomorrow, the court appearance for next week. Trust me, I think, is what he's telling his followers. And it boils down to, our time is going away so quickly. I'm about halfway through and our time is almost gone, so I'm going to have to hurry it up. It boils down to, friends, will you trust him? Maybe you got to back up a step. Maybe you got to say, preacher, can I even trust him? Maybe that's where you're at. But for those that have said, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus, it comes to, will I trust him? Will I leave it in his hands? Will I trust him when it's ugly out there? When I'm hurting? When it don't look like I want to go another day? Will I trust him? I've thought about this verse 33 when he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I've thought about what would it be like if our entire nation did that on a moment-by-moment basis? You thought about that? What would it be like if our churches trusted him and sought first the kingdom of God in everything? What would that be like? What would it be like in our families, couples, individuals, whatever makes up your family, if we sought him first in everything? Because it was the words of Jesus that said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Friends, the question I think about worry boils down to, will I trust the living God? Will I trust the Lord Jesus Christ? Will I trust him as provider? We could sit here the rest of the afternoon, I bet, and talk about stories how he has provided for you when you have trusted completely. You're at the end of the line. You're at the end of the groceries. You're at the end of the checkbook, whatever it is. And he has provided for you because you have trusted him. Amen? We could do that. He has provided. He is willing to save. He is willing to forgive. He is willing to guide and direct for the big decisions and the little decisions in life. Will you trust him? Or we have the option to worry about it and fret and stew and wonder and take matters into our own hands. Seek ye first the kingdom of God is a very good verse for us to memorize. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Can you trust him? Will you trust him for salvation? You know what? Heaven is available to all. Will you trust him in our marriages, in our families? Will you trust him for food tomorrow if your cupboards are bare? Will you trust him, as I said, for the next court appearance or the next bill or all the things in life? Will you trust him? I've read this verse over and over, and I've memorized it many years ago, and I've been thinking about it. And I want to ask you something to close. When Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Was he kidding? Was he just joshing? Was he just fooling around? Friends, what he said is true. And if we just don't put our complete and unsurrendered faith and trust in him, I guess we just don't believe it. I guess we just don't believe what he said is true. He said, seek first the kingdom of God, and these things will be added unto you. He meant it, friends. And when we are able to bring ourselves to trust in him completely, trust in him when I'm worried about my children or my grandchildren or my job or whatever it is, trust in him when I'm really able, even if I'm sick, even if I'm sick unto death, trust in him. Even if I'm going to die, trust in him, because you know what? He's still the Prince of Peace. He's still the place to put your trust. He's still the one to bring your anxieties. He's still the one to bring your cares and dump them onto. He can take it. He meant it when he said, seek first the kingdom of God, and these things will be added unto you. He meant it. And when we bring ourselves to trust in him completely, we find ourselves in that place of peace, that place of dependence upon him, that place of contentment. I can't find anywhere in the Bible where it says, seek you first the kingdom and your righteousness. But I can see where it says, seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Friends, I've said it over and over in the Sermon on the Mount. I'll say it once more. We've got another chapter to go. Jesus did not teach in chapters 5, 6, and 7 things that you cannot do. Jesus did not lay out these directives of things that he knew you would never do. These are things that we can do. Not worry, we can do because of him. Not fret, we can do because of him. Not be anxious, we can do because of him. These things that he laid out in the Sermon on the Mount are not things that you can never do. He didn't give us that directive. I'm going to give you some stuff that I know you can't do. He didn't do that. And so when he said over and over and over in this last part of chapter 6, do not worry, he meant it. Seek first the kingdom of God and replace the worry with the Prince of Peace. Praise team, let's sing. We're going to close with a song. And friends, I know there's things that cause us worry. I know that. I know there's things that cause us anxiety and tumultuous times. But I'm asking you today to really trust, really have faith in the Prince of Peace, really have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For today, for tomorrow, for eternity, and for everything else that comes up in your life. And while we're singing this song, if there's something that, you know, you're just worried about, it's really been bugging you, it's really been bothering you, you want to be prayed over, there's several of us here that will be glad to pray with you. You just come forward, we'll pray for you. And lay this worry down. As he said, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. So if there's things that are just eating you up today, that are worrying you sick, we want to pray for you. I might have Richard come forward and help me, or Dan, or CMA Chaplain Dale, or somebody, but we want to pray for you. If you're worried sick about something today, we want to pray for you. Let's stand together and close with this song.
Rescue us. hearts always hunger for.
Let's bow our heads, friends, for closing prayer. You know, Jesus is the answer to life. Jesus is the answer to eternal life. And if you're struggling today, friends, you're struggling in your mind, you're not even sure about eternal life because you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ. Will you give Him your heart and your life today? Will you say, yes, Lord Jesus, oh, how I need you. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. I trust in you alone. And if you're struggling today in your hearts with just some worry, will you take the advice of Jesus that says, cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Lay it at the cross of Jesus today, friends. He loves you. He cares for you. He died for you. And He wants you to be whole in Him. So lay it all down to Jesus today, friends. Let Him walk with you through the difficult moments of life. Father God, we praise You. We worship You, Almighty God. As this song has just said, Jesus is our hope. You are the hope, Heavenly Father, that brings us through another difficult day. You are the hope, Lord Jesus, that saves us from our sin. You are the hope, O God, and Your Spirit's directing us to You that brings us one day, ushers us into the presence of Almighty God. You are our hope for today, for tomorrow, and forever. And so, gracious Lord Jesus, dismiss us now with Your guiding hand. Father, help us to be faithful. Help us to be trusting. Help us to not worry so much, but place it in Your hands. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.